know God is worthy to be praised. We honor Him today. We glorify, we magnify Him today. But He is worthy of all of our adoration. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. Just loose yourself in the Lord. Just loose yourself in the Lord. And we thank God today for the choir leading us in worship. Amen, amen, amen. It's preaching time, beloved. We thank God for the praises. We thank God for the prayers. Now let's get ready for the proclamation of God's divine and eternal word. God is able, isn't He?
Oh, yes, He is.
And we bless Him today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We've been walking our way through the life of Abraham. Abraham, starting in Genesis chapter 12, and now we are going to end this sermon series in Genesis chapter 22. Amen. Amen and amen. Stand to your feet. Turn in your Bible. Say amen when you've located the text. The Bible reads as follows, starting in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. You will find these words written. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes, saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son Isaac, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, Jehovah Yireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word, and edify and sanctify the people of God. I want that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Sold Out for Jesus. Sold out for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now that your word would not return void. The word written, the word given, and the word spoken. That the word may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated today. May souls be convicted, I pray. Holy Ghost, continue to let your anointing fall fresh in this place. May it reverberate off walls and ceilings and floor and penetrate into the hearts and minds and souls of your people. Have your way. Draw someone closer to you today, God, and we shall be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we do pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Ushers, you may be seated. I do solicit your prayers. Thank God. I praise God for Sister Karen's prayer for me and my family. I'm feeling a little under the weather. You can hear it. I sound a little worse than I feel, but am feeling a little weaker than normal. So I seek your prayers. And certainly I know that when we are weak, God is made strong. Amen. Today I want to share in what has become a multi-part sermon series on the life of Abraham, the father of faith. When the Lord gave me this sermon series to preach, He didn't give me a number, but He certainly said, I want you to speak about the multiple dimensions about Abraham and his life, and how Abraham's life applies to us in this 21st century. That's true of every biblical character. That we ought to look at the scriptures and ascertain what is it that we glean from the scriptures and how they apply to our lives. How we are to live our lives in a way that mirrors and models that which we see in scripture. Abraham is unique because he is the earliest patriarch to which we reference, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although Adam and Noah and Enoch and other men of faith that are found in the scriptures, right, it is really Abraham that draws our attention as the father of the nation of Israel. It is the nation God promised. It is the promise of fulfillment. It is a fulfillment of promise that God gives to this man by the name of Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And so there's much to learn, and today I really want to talk about how Abraham continued to apply his faith, his walk with God, in a way that is exemplary as for us as people of faith. So even though we will ascribe three branches of monotheistic religions that comes out of Abraham, if you would, our Muslim brothers and sisters will trace their lineage back to Abraham. Our Jewish brothers and sisters trace their lineage back to Abraham. Our Christian, Judeo-Christian brothers and sisters trace their lineage back to Abraham. And so Abraham is this unique biblical figure, this unique biblical character. But at the heart of what we believe as people of faith, as Christians, is that Abraham modeled and mirrored the kind of faith that you and I ought to have as believers. And so my statement to us today, my quest, I think, in this sermon series is to challenge us about what it means to be more faithful, and what it means even today in this sermon, what it means to go further in the Lord and to go deeper in our faith walk, to go higher in our praise, to go longer in our stamina, to give God more of what we have, because all of it comes from Him. Amen, somebody. And so Abraham, I think, exemplifies. I want to keep saying that. He exemplifies this. For if you look at the life of Abraham from the time he comes on the scene, when he was in the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and how God called him from there and took him out from where he was to where he wanted him to be. It is this amazing journey of getting out of what's comfortable, getting out of what's known, and going to some place where you do not know. And that's not just geographic geographically and physically. God wants to take us places spiritually and emotionally that we don't even know the greatest outcome of what those journeys are. Sometimes the greatest journey isn't where you go, it's how deep you go into yourself and into your walk with God. I'm convinced that there's some stuff in our past that a lot of us don't want to journey to because it is too painful, it is too hurtful. And yet, in order to be who God has called us to be, I believe God will take us on journeys that moves us back into some painful places so that we can find healing in some balm in Gilead in order to accomplish those things. So you don't even have to go anywhere to go on a journey. Amen, somebody. Just understanding who you are and what God is calling in and out of your life is part of this faith walk. And it takes faith to go back into your past. It takes faith to get out of a comfortable place. It takes faith, Sister Latilla, to deal with some stuff that's dealing with you and you don't even know it's dealing with you. It takes faith to acknowledge that you are a sinner saved by grace. It takes faith to acknowledge you're not perfect. It takes faith to acknowledge that you need a Savior in your life. It takes faith to say, as strong of a man as I am hurting. There's some stuff inside of me that is hurting, that is painful. And so the journey isn't always a physical one. The journey often is an emotional one, as well as a spiritual one, as well as an intellectual one. For it is then when we are equipped with all of that, that we can walk down the geographical and physical journey that God has for us. And so Abraham, I think, exemplifies all of that. He literally got out of his father's place, a place of comfortability. But all this journey, he had to deal with himself. Remember the first sermon I dealt in the sermon series said that Abraham went on the mountain east of Gilead, or east of Bethel, and went to Egypt, and went to some other places in Cana. And yet, when it was all over, he came back to the very place that he started from. And sometimes God will take you out before he brings you back in. Sometimes he'll take you over a mountain, around through a valley, around a corner, and you find yourself back in the same place. But when you get back to the same place, I hope you're stronger for the journey. You're better for the journey. You have more understanding because of the journey. You've got more faith because of the journey. Amen, someone. And so Abraham's journey, his faith walk, is exemplary. I want to keep saying it. It's exemplary to us. And Abraham, today, in today's sermon, after going through, listen, for walking from all of the journey he did at the beginning of chapter number 12, he got out of his father's land, which is a big, just getting over your inertia is a big step. The first step on the journey is the major step. Having the ability to take the first step away from your pain, away from your abuse. It's often said that the most dangerous moment in a woman's life who is seeking refuge from a domestic violence situation is the moment she decides to leave. That is when she is most at risk, when she tries to take that first step away from her abuser. Listen, all of that is inside of many of us. And it may not be a physical domestic violence situation, but all of us got some stuff that God wants to take us somewhere to either get away from it or to go into it and deal with it before it debilitates you mentally, spiritually, as well as physically. What causes a police officer to take a gun, take his own life with two children left behind? Now, there's some details of the story that need not go into, but at the end of the day, he was so emotionally broken that he found refuge in a gun to take his own life. What's the journey we all find ourselves on? And today I want to use Abraham's example. Help us think about what it means to be further sold out for the God we say we believe in. I want to talk then about what's the sacrifice that God sometimes, many times, oftentimes, every time requires us to make. And then thirdly, I want to end with, how does God supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory? And so if you look first at verse number 1 and 2, I scratched my head a little bit when I looked at the text, because the text says, now it came to pass after these things. And that phrase caught my attention, after these things, now after these things. What are the these things that the Bible is referring to with regards to Abraham? Well, it's all the stuff that Abraham has been through on his journey from Genesis 12 into Genesis 13, when God is doing this and taking him there, to dealing with his nephew, the brother of his son, Lot, who finds himself caught up in geopolitics. Abraham had to muster up some folk to go rescue him out of a situation. Then he had to separate from his nephew Lot. Then he had to deal with some issues of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he had to deal with the issues of not being able to have a child because he was too old. And then he had to deal with issues of having a child by a woman who was not his first wife, Hagar, and dismissing that child and the mother away from the camp. And then he had to deal with the death of Sarah. And then he had to deal with so many of these other things. And the question says, now after these things that God sought to test Abraham. And I scratched my head and said, God, hasn't Abraham been through enough? Why are you still testing him? Hasn't he demonstrated that he is a man of faith? Why are you still testing him? And then God said something to me. He said, young man, Armstrong, preacher, whatever you want to call yourself, I don't need your permission to bless you, and I don't need your permission to test you. And so whatever I'm doing in Abraham, I want you to take a lesson. God tested Abraham after these things. And some of us find ourselves in a very similar place, don't we? After these things, God, haven't I been through enough? I just lost my mama. Haven't I been through enough? I just lost my dad. Haven't I been through enough? My wife just died. Haven't I been through enough? My mama just passed over. My brother just died. Haven't I been through enough? I just lost my job. Haven't I been through enough? I just got diagnosed with sickness in my body. Haven't I been through enough? And God is saying, as much as you've been through, I still got something in you that I want to bring out of you. And I need you to hold on to me, because I'm taking you somewhere. I'm doing something in you that you would not even believe in if I told you. So you may think you've been through enough, but God's got another plan for you. You may think you can't take another thing, but God's got another plan for you. You may think this burden is too heavy, this mountain is too tall, this river is too wide, this valley is too deep, but God's got another plan. Somebody shall thank you, God. I'm glad he knows where I'm going, because if it was up to me, I would sit down and wouldn't keep moving. But because God is God, he knows where he wants to take me. But what he wants to know is, am I sold out? Am I fully committed? And the scripture says, now after these things, God tests Abraham. And what I want to say to us, my beloved, is that God always has more that he wants to bring out of us. I don't care how much you've given in your past, you can always give a little bit more. I don't care how much loud you praised him, you can always praise him a little bit louder. I don't care how far you stretch your hand, you can stretch it a little bit higher. I don't care how low you got on your knees, you can always go a little bit lower. I don't care how hard fast you ran for the Lord, you can always run a little bit faster. I don't care how high you jump for God, you can always jump a little bit higher. You can always give God a little bit more. And I'm here to tell somebody, God wants more from you. God wants more. He wants more. He wants more. I know you've been through after these things, but he wants some more. And guess what? After these things, there's going to be some other things. And after those things, there's going to be some other things. But God wants more. How much can you give him? Everything. God said, okay, Abraham, Now let me put you through another test. The Bible says, it brings me to my second point of sacrifice. God wants to and deserves not just some, but all. And I think the human quest, our human journey, is all about how do we give God more. It starts off as baby Christians, as baby believers, giving them a little bit. And as we mature in our faith, it's all about giving God more. Growing. Understanding that you don't have to hoard and control. But when you give it to God, God gives more. And so the sacrifice now becomes very important. What's your sacrifice to God? What's your sacrifice to God? What's my sacrifice to God? How are we sacrificing for God? And the scripture says that God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, your one you love. Look, it's right there in the text. And I don't want you to miss that. Take the one you love. Take your only son whom you love. He could have left that part off, whom you love, but he put it in there. Because God understood that Abraham wanted a son, and he loved that son. And so the question for you and for me, what are those things, and who are those people whom we love so much that if God said, I want you to give it to me, I want you to give them to me, will you let it go? Will you let them go? Are you going to hold on to it, whom you love? What is it that you love so much that if it was between them and God, that you would have to give them up because you love God that much? Who is it? And what is it that commands your affinity and your affection so much that you are challenged if God said, give it up to me? What about the job? What about the car? What about the clothes? What about the reputation? What about the this? What about the that? I think what is endemic that I'm taking away from this Abrahamic series is that there have been multiple sermons in which I've been preaching. God has been sharing with me to share with you, but also sharing with me about what does it mean to let go and cut some stuff. A couple of weeks I talked about circumcision. I talked about what it means as a sign of the covenant to cut through, to excise off, to separate from some things and some people in order that you may be all that God has called you to be. Today I'm back at that same thing, that God wants to separate us from some stuff that you love. You may not even know how much you love it. You may not even know how much you value it. Until you've lost it, you may not really understand how valuable it is to you. But often we know God says, I'm willing, I want you to give me everything, but there's some stuff we keep in our back pocket that we don't want to let go of. Because I can give this up, I can give that up, but I don't really love that stuff and that person as much as I love this. And God will call us to go to that ultimate level of sacrifice. And say, I want you to give me what you love. Give me Isaac. You gave me Ishmael. I got that. You gave me Keturah and the sons later. That's after the death. I got that. But now I'm saying, give me Isaac, the one I promised you. And if I'm Abraham, I'm saying, but God, how will I get a son? How will I get a nation if you take my only begotten son? But I want you to understand Abraham's response as a man of faith. What does he do? The Bible says he packed up Isaac. Took his boy, took the wood, took the fire, and they went on a journey. And the Bible says, as they're walking, that little Isaac looks up and says, Daddy, I see the fire. Daddy, I see the wood. Daddy, I see the knife. But Daddy, I don't see the sacrifice. Where is the lamb that's supposed to be slain? And I can hear Abraham, he says it right there in the text. He said, don't worry about it, son, because the God I serve will provide a ram, a sacrifice. He will give me
what we need when we get there. And I need some of y'all to go on the journey with God. You think you got everything you need, but there's something missing. And God is saying, I'm not going to reveal it to you until you keep walking with me. I'm not going to show it to you until you get a little bit way down the line. I'm not going to give you insight until you take the first couple of steps with me. Anybody willing to walk with God and you don't even know where you're going? Anybody willing to walk with God and you don't even have everything you got? You need anybody willing to walk with God?
God says, and I love Abraham for his faith. He says, what I need, God will give it to a son. And here's the part I really want to jump up and down on. If you go back before he says that, the Bible says that Abraham said to his two men, I'm going to stop here. I've come as far as I can go on the donkey. Now I'm going to leave the donkey. I'm going to take my son. I'm going to take the wood. I'm going to take the fire. And we're going to keep going up and down the ways. And if you look at verse number 5, the Bible says that we will come back to you. But before he says we will come back to you, he says we're going to worship. I will go up yonder and worship. Look at verse number 5. I'm going. I got everything I need to go worship. I know I'm pained by what God wants me to do, but I'm going to go and worship. Has anybody had to worship God through their pain? Has anybody had to praise the Lord through a challenging situation? Has anybody ever had to lift up your voice and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee, nor the help I know? I don't know exactly where my help is coming from, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to praise you anyhow. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to give you glory anyhow. I'm going to give you honor anyhow. Even though I'm on the rough side of a mountain, I'm still going to praise you anyhow. Even though I'm down in the valley, y'all, I'm still going to praise you anyhow. Does anybody have an anyhow praise? A yet praise? Come on, somebody. God says, Abraham says that to God and to his people. He says, not only are we going to worship, but he says, we will come back to you. I love that part. Every time I preach it, I got to shout just for myself right there in verse number 5. Because if you don't get it, I need you to understand. I got it, y'all. Because Abraham is making a declaration of faith. He's saying two of us are going. I'm supposed to sacrifice one of us, but two of us are coming back. What's the deal? The math doesn't add up. 2 minus 1 equals 1. But in God's divine arithmetic, I need somebody to understand that with God on your side, he's the only one you need. The Bible says that Abraham says that Abraham believed that even though I'm going to sacrifice my boy, we will come back to you. What that means is that Abraham says, I don't know how God is going to work it out, but I'm declaring and decreeing that two of us are coming back. You're not getting that message, are you? See, some of y'all friends and family may have even left y'all for dead, but I need some of y'all to declare and to decree, even though I've been through hell and high water, I'm coming back. Even though you knocked me down, I'm coming back. Even though you kicked me to the curb, I'm coming back. Even though I lost my job, you got the promotion, but don't count me out. I'm coming. I'm coming back, y'all. I'm coming back. Abraham gives us an ultimate statement about his theological belief in God. For you see, among the many traits of who God is, one of the ones you got to get in your head is that God is immutable. What does that mean? He is omnipotent, all powerful.
powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipresent everywhere at the same time. He is loving. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is righteous. But I love this one. He is immutable. That means God doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, the same God today, and the same God forevermore. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That if he blessed me yesterday, he'll bless me again today. If he moved the mountain, he'll move the mountain again today. If he built a bridge, he'll build a bridge again today. Abraham states his theological presupposition of his faith in God, that I didn't have a child before God gave me one. Listen, I'm 100 years old. Couldn't even believe I could have a baby. And God gave me a child? Don't you think if he gave me one yesterday, and if I got to give this one up back to him, he can do it again today? You're not going to be coming down your street parking on your corner. That means if you think God didn't have a job yesterday, he gave you a job today. For some reason you lost your job tomorrow, you better believe that the same God that gave you the job. Let me help somebody else out. You weren't, the doctor told you you had cancer yesterday, but today you got healed. But tomorrow you get diagnosed again. Don't you believe that the same God that healed your body yesterday is the same God that can heal your body today? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He's the same God. If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now as he was back then. It is the underlying presupposition, foundational bedrock principle of Abraham's faith. That's what I believe about God. And I don't know how God's going to fix this thing with my son. But if I've got to kill him, and listen, this has a level of brutality that has it, merits its own conversation. But use your sanctified imagination. That God is saying to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice that which you love. Abraham wraps up his son in the swaddling and whatever he had to put him on to get him ready for the sacrifice. Puts him on the altar saying, God, I'm ready to let it go, but I'm still trusting you. I've got the knife at a 90 degree angle, at 180 degrees. I'm picking it up to a 45 degree angle. I've got it up at 90 degrees, God. I'm bringing it down. And just before he brings it down on his son, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord cries out to him. Let me tell somebody, you don't know when God's going to come, but he's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he always comes right on time. I'm so glad today that God is an on-time God. Abraham, what are you doing? He says, now I know. Put the text up there. It says in verse number 12, do not lay your hand on your son, but do any harm to him. For now I know that you fear God. How many of you know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom? Knowledge. Discernment and understanding. The fear of the Lord. The fear of God. The reverence of God. Abraham was ready to sacrifice everything he thought valuable in his life. And when you're at a point when you're able to give God everything,
then you're ready to be blessed in a way that you will blow your mind. So now I get to my third point. I go to my seat. The third point is supply. And I love this. Look at verse number 13 and 14. It says here in verse number 13 and 14, it says, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And I asked myself, I have to make up in my mind, do I believe in coincidences and happenstance, or do I believe that God is a God of divine appointment? And I had made up in my mind that I don't believe that God is a God of happenstance. I imagine that same horn could have passed by that same fence 100 times. But why on this time does the ram get stuck in the thickets at this time? I believe that God appointed that ram to be there at that appointed time, just what Abraham needed him to be there. I'm here to tell somebody that when you are walking with God, that God will give you what you need when you need it, just when you need it. You scratch your head and you wonder, how did it get there? You scratch your head and you wonder, where did it come from? You scratch your head and you say, how did it arrive? Did UPS send it? Did Federal Express send it? No, God sent it on the wings of an angel. I've been the recipient of a blessing that I looked around. I didn't know where it came from, y'all. But when I looked up, don't you know God had given me what I needed when I needed it, just at the time that I needed it. All I can do is lift up my hands and say, thank you, God. Lift up my hands and say, I bless you, God. Lift up my hands and say, I magnify you, God, because you're worthy. Has anybody been there? You wonder where it came from? Like manna from heaven, it drops out of the sky. Come on, somebody. Didn't deserve it. Didn't work for it. Shouldn't have got it. But God blessed you anyhow. Don't you know? I'm talking about Jehovah Yireh. I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh, y'all. Let me help you out with a little Hebrew. The word Yireh in Hebrew does not mean to provide. We use the phrase Jehovah Jireh means my God is my provider. But really in transliteration, it means that God is the one who sees. And in order to provide, God has peeked into your future, looked up ahead, saw the devil and what he is plotting against you, dug into his bag of blessings and said, this is what I'm going to use to bless my son, bless my daughter as an antidote to what the devil is trying to do. The devil is trying to break my child's spirit. I need to give him a little bit more courage. The devil is trying to break my child's faith. I need to give him a little bit more uplift. The devil is trying to break my child's body. I need to remind him that I said I will heal. Whatever the enemy is trying to do to break you, God sees what he's plotting. Come on, Sister Jesse. He's looked into your future. He knows what you're about to go through. He knows how tall the mountain is. And because he's seen it, he can meet it, because he knows what's coming down the line. So I want to end today with this notion that God says to Abraham, now that I know that if I give you 100, let me use tithing as an example, that you'll give me $1, $10 back. Now I know that if I give you 100,000, you'll give me 1,000 back, 10,000 back. Now I know that if I give you 1,000,000, you give me 100,000 back. Now I know that you're not wrapped up in how big it is. You're more wrapped up in who the blesser is. Now I know that you're not mad at what the creation is. You're more concerned.
concerned about the Creator. Now I know you're not worried about what they think about you. You're only concerned about what I think about you. Now I know.
Now I know I can take you on a journey that you're ready to go. Now I'm ready to pour out something that I promised you, but now I just needed to know, were you able to handle it? Look at what verse number 17 says. Verse 17 says, blessings I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply your descendants of the stars of heaven as the sand which is on the seashore. This is about the fifth time God has told Abraham this. But what's the difference? Abraham has gone through the ultimate test. Now I know. Now look at the language. Now blessings I'll bless you with. Multiplyings I'll God says I can't even name your blessings. I'm just going to call them multiplyings. And I'm going to give you multiplyings upon multiplyings upon you're not getting that message. God's got a blessing waiting for you that you don't even have room enough to receive it. But you got to be ready to open up your mouth. Give God some glory. Open up your hands. Give God some praise.
Now I know. Till now I know you can go through the fire. Now I know you can handle the storm, Jesse. Now I know, Jerry and Gwendy, you can go through some stuff and not give up on me. Now I know, Eddie and Eric, what you can handle. Now I'm about to pour something out on you that will blow your mind. I need everybody to multiply. I mean, I need everybody to internalize that. God wants to do something great. But are you ready to handle it? And I believe the way we get ready is by being sold out. Willing to sacrifice anything that God wants us to give up. And understanding the bedrock principle of your faith. That God will supply my needs. According to His riches. In glory, there's nothing I can go through that God won't make a way out of no way. No mountain too high, no valley too low, no river too wide, no enemy too great, that God cannot work it out. And until I get on the other side, I just made up in my mind, I'm going to bless Him every day I get up. I'm going to worship Him every day I get up. I'm going to magnify Him every day I get up. Because God is worthy, y'all. He's worthy of our praise. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Give God a praise offering. Thank you, God. Let the church say amen. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend this invitation. Someone here today needed to be reminded. They needed to be reminded. They needed to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I thank God for His Word. I find deep solace in God's Word. Deep comfort in His Word. Deep reassurance in His Word. And now we just got to stand on it, y'all. Just stand on His Word. So if you're here today, if you're here today, and you need special prayer, these folk in the aisles can pray for you. That's what they're here to do. The deacons, the deaconess, the clergy, they can pray for you. But if you want to make a change in your life and say, Lord, I'm submitting, I'm sacrificing even me. I'm going to put me on the altar because I want to change. God is saying, come forward. Let go and let God. It's bigger than just joining the church. Although, if you know Jesus, I want you to become a member of our church if you are so led. But this is about relationship with God. Abraham had a relationship with God where he can talk with God. That's what God wants for you, to talk with you and you to talk with Him. Have a personal relationship. And if you don't have that today, I want to offer that to you.
whomever you are. I want you to step out of your seat. Come on down the aisle. Give me your hand. And give God your heart. Yes, if you know Jesus already, and you don't, and you want a church home, we want you to become a member here. We would love it. I'd be absolutely bowled over. But more importantly, before your membership is your relationship with God. Go ahead and sing, choir. And as they sing, these invitations are extended to somebody. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Look at God today. Somebody give God a praise offering.
Oh Lord, we give you praise.
Anybody else here today?
Oh Lord,
anybody else here today?
Your name.
Sing, choir, sing. Let the Lord use you.